College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Kale and Company, Nick, Dawn, and Sean, as we continue. Morning mystery movie clip coming up in less than 15 minutes, and then we will get to Cut Sheet Part 2, the 9 o'clock hour, brought to you by United Tire. If you drive a car and you want it to last and not cost you a ton in the long run, get your car to United Tire and Service. Visit one of their 10 locations throughout the Delaware Valley. Visit unitedtire.com. Don't drive alone. Drive United. Steve Kornacki posting a poll and some poll results just about 10 minutes ago. He is NBC News and MSNBC's top polling expert. You see him on front of the board on election night, hopped up on more stuff than Biden is for the State of the Union, running around like a chicken with his head cut off, but he's really good at what he does. And he just posted, and I retweeted it, two polls, The Economist / YouGov, as well as the Fox News poll. Two recent polls that measured the favorable or unfavorable numbers for both number one and number two, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And actually now Joe has slid back ahead of Kamala Harris as being more unfavorable. 58% in the Economist YouGov poll gave Joe Biden an unfavorable rating, Kamala Harris at 54% unfavorable. Those numbers slightly different in the Fox News poll. Joe Biden, 56% unfavorable. Kamala Harris, 57% unfavorable. And I bring that up because top Biden officials, according to the New York Times yesterday, were trying to seek and calm their donors. And this is just a brief excerpt from this panic session, as they did a Zoom audio call on Monday with about 500 members of the campaign's National Finance Committee. And a couple of the quotes: everyone just needs to breathe through the nose for a minute. That is according to Chris Corgi, the finance chair of the DNC. The senior Biden officials on the call downplayed the political fallout of the debate that was held on Thursday in Atlanta. But according to sources, the remarks Monday did little to stem the anxiety of the campaign's well-heeled patrons, according to people on the call, who described it while it was still ongoing. So this was, you know, one of these audio-only Zooms where you can maybe be texting somebody and nobody can see you while you're doing the Zoom. And the Biden campaign took no questions from donors. Instead, the contributors had to submit their questions through the Zoom messaging app, but other attendees could not read them, according to people on the call. And one donor asked the campaign how it would respond to a significant erosion of polling. And the campaign largely dismissed the concern, saying, quote, "The media has spent a ton of time blowing this out of proportion." And I bring this up because I think money talks. And Silicon Valley, a lot of reports over the last 2 to 3 weeks, all the big investors out in the Bay Area, the West Coast, big tech country, the ones that were very hesitant to support and endorse and back Trump in 16 and or 20 are now all coming out and doing that this time around because their bottom line is being impacted and affected. So I always believe in the adage that money talks, and follow the money, and it will answer a lot of the questions: who, what, why, when, and where, how, so forth and so on. And this to me might be one of the biggest concerns for the Biden campaign, because we just talked about this, Dawn and Sean. Trump and his camp, after the last month, rallying the troops financially and just blowing right past Joe when it comes to donors and big spending. Because if the money dries up, that's when action usually is taken.
Yeah, I see. It's money talks and BS walks.
That's
right?
I was told. Yes, yes.
That's the entire premise of the situation. Like, you look at these companies like Tractor Supply, Bud Light, Target, Kohl's, et cetera. When you do these boycotts, and you know, the left is like, "Oh, that's cancel culture." Well, first of all, that's you're voting with your dollars. It's totally good and totally fine. when you take away what people really want, that's the green, that's the money, that's what keeps the operations going, people notice. And I think hitting them in the wallet is the best way to go about doing it. You know, money talks, BS walks. BS is, you know, I'm not going there anymore. And then next week, you know, you're over there, you know, eating at whatever establishment it is that you said you were going to boycott. That's BS. That's bluster. Mm-hmm. But when you make that conscious decision to say that, listen, I am personally going to defund that operation. I will not support that operation. If a large number of people do that in unison, it starts to make an impact. And look, how quickly did Tractor Supply turn around? Their stock took a beating. I mean, this whole thing that Robbie Starbuck, we talked about it yesterday, put out, it was over the better part of a month or so. Their stock took a beating and they changed course appropriately. And I think they did the right thing. If our members of Congress, let's go ahead and say, acted the same way as Tractor Supply did, we'd be in a little bit of a better situation, I think, in this country where, okay, well, we see and we hear what our representatives, what our constituents or customers, if you're a representative or a business, are saying, then you react to what the people who you're serving want. And that's essentially, you know, how it should be. So money talks, BS walks. You want to make a difference, hit them in the wallet.
Yes, indeed. 855-839-1210. Then I saw this story. This will be the last story of the day before we get to our morning mystery movie clip and cut sheet part due. Politico with the story of 12 experts on what Joe Biden needs to do after his debate debacle. And they were asked a variety of questions. And some of the responses really go to show you that no matter how you try to alter this, I don't think you can spin it. I don't think you can correct it. You can't fix it. Basically, you're now going to run on SCOTUS is the new villain. SCOTUS is the new boogeyman. Trump's a bad guy. Trump derangement syndrome. The hatred towards Trump. And, of course, abortion. That's all they have, right? Because the policies are indefensible and the candidate you can no longer defend. And when you give experts the chance to weigh in on, well, how would you salvage a sinking ship? And the responses are, quote, rally around him no matter what. Dawn talks about that all the time. Democrats in the 23rd hour always rally behind their guy. Not sure that strategy will work this time. The other expert says, just let Joe Biden be Joe Biden. Well, I would sit there and say, hey, Mr. Expert, that's why he's in the position he is, because Joe Biden is just a vegetable, to quote Sean Farish at this point. I mean, he's pretty much out of it. Quote, Biden should bless a new nominee. Okay. But Nevada and Wisconsin, it's already too late. Joe can't come off the ballot. Could you imagine if they did that and they punted on a swing state? I've said, you know, in the past, this election could legitimately come down to Pennsylvania. What if it comes down to Wisconsin, where Joe, according to the Heritage Project, would not, even if he's removed from the ballot and people vote for him, they would not get a single vote, and you would give Wisconsin by default to Donald Trump. Then they say candor and transparency about the aging process would go a long way. Well, I mean, Joe says from time to time, yeah, I don't debate like I used to. I don't walk like I used to. But all the other minions are out there trying to tell you that your eyes are lying to you and he's not eroding before your very eyes. And then the last expert said a Whitmer-Harris ticket would be appealing. I would actually argue that if you put out Gretchen Whitmer and Kamala Harris together on a ticket, it would be glorious seeing people on both sides of the Democratic aisle, the far left that do the identity politics game versus those that are more moderate or just kind of a classic liberal. Because what the far left would do then would say, wait a minute, you're going to jump Gretchen Whitmer over Kamala Harris? We talk about the sexism card, the racism card, why they don't go to Gavin Newsom. Could you imagine the reaction if they put Gretchen Whitmer ahead of Harris on this ticket? You thought Joy Reid's head exploded an hour ago in the cut sheet. You imagine what her monologue would be tonight if that happened?
Yeah, it's true. I worry. I always, as I say, what are the Democrats going to do? They always find a way, another pathway. And so I think of the two things, what do they have? They have danger to democracy. We're going to see ads in Pennsylvania, a whole new ad buy talking about Trump, a danger to democracy and dealing with the SCOTUS ruling. But then what else do they have? Abortion. And so I think about, you know, abortion on the ballot. It's not on the ballot here in Pennsylvania, but it is on the ballot, New York, Maryland, Florida, Nevada, Colorado, South Dakota. And I worry about the fact that they're going to push hard in those states as far as abortion being on the ballot. And then they're still saying that in some states like Arizona or Arkansas or Missouri, for example, they're still saying that they're trying to get it on the ballot, which I can't believe it's this late and they still might get it on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
I just worry about what they're going to try to sneak on the ballot to influence and energize voters to go a certain way.
Yep. 855-839-1210. On the other side, it's time for the morning mystery movie clip, and then we will get to what's on the cut sheet part due as Ron DeSantis says, what about Weekend at Bernie's part two? We'll get to that and many more clips coming up on the cut sheet, including one of Sean Farish's favorites, who still, 16 years later, does not know how to pronounce the name of a former two-term, president of the United States. That and much more on the cut sheet as we continue. Kale and Company, back after this.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Let's get to what's on the cut sheet part two.
What's on the cut sheet
part two?
What's on the cut sheet part two? As we have so many more clips to get through, and we'll do that right now for probably about the next 15 or 20 minutes. Sean Farish, I mentioned a guy that's probably somewhat, I would presume, near and dear to your heart. The audience is probably aware of him as well. He's, I would say, one of the founding fathers of sports talk radio. I mean, there's been many great legends in this city. Angelo Cataldi, Howard Eskin, Tony Bruno, Mike Missinelli, just to name a few. In New York, you know, you had Mike and the Mad Dog, legendary yes. sports talk show on Odyssey Station WFAN with Mike Francesa and Chris Russo. And Chris Russo, you might see him on ESPN, you might see him on MLB Network, and he now does his afternoon radio show on satellite. But even 16 years later, Mad Dog Russo still cannot pronounce Barack Obama's name correctly. I don't know how this is possible for somebody in any walk of life, much less as a broadcaster, much less as a guy who talks for a living. And oh, by the way, I do think probably knows politics. I don't know for sure. I think Russo probably skews a little on the conservative side, and that's just me going out on a limb here. This is clip 25, boys, as Chris Mad Dog Russo still can't say Barack Obama.
Or if Biden doesn't come to his senses, or if Obama, or, you know, Clinton, whomever the, it's Obama, Michelle and Barack, if Barack Obama, if anybody's got the ability to convince him to drop out.
Barack Obama, Barack Obama, it's, with all due respect, doggy, it's Barack. We've all figured out how to say it correctly, yet that guy still can trip over the easiest words of all time.
Oh, I love Mad Dog. I love me some Mad Dog. I missed the show. Mike and the Mad Dog was such a good time in sports radio. Everything kind of, like, I feel like the world changed once they split up, and then Mike Francesa retired, and then he did his like little Brett Favre, "All right, we're back. We were tired for a few minutes. We're back." he came back after a couple of weeks, right? What was that? It was because I think FAN trotted out some show that was doing horribly, and then he came back in, and you know, it wasn't the same. The whole world changed when the greats of sports talk radio went their separate ways and did everything else. I cannot believe, though, Russo can't pronounce Barack. It's not a hard thing to do.
No, it's not. And he gets tripped up on a lot of the L's sometimes. Like, he has trouble saying Roger Goodell or Bill Belichick, which, by the way, you said the world changed when that happened. I think that when those two broke up, that was right around the same time Obama was elected in 2008. Yeah. So
that's probably why it happened. So
now I didn't know you did a Francesa impersonation. Do you have any more?
I've been doing Francesa.
So can you do us a conversation? Right, I'm gonna put you to the test right now. This is totally ad libbing on the fly. I want to hear a conversation between Donald Trump and Mike Francesa. Can you give us
right,
one
here,
on the fly?
Do it?
Yeah.
I'll do it right now. Right now. We're going to go to Donald in West Palm Beach. What's up, Donald? Well, you know, Mike, I have to say you were a great guy, although there are some things you say about the New York Jets that we don't really like. But, you know, I wanted to say the congratulations on your ratings. I'm on your show, and your ratings are going to be incredible this morning, and it's going to be incredible as you continue on. So I just wanted to say that you're a tremendous guy. You're doing a very good job, and you're welcome for the ratings. You're absolutely welcome for the ratings. And
wait a second. Wait a second, Mr. President. Listen, we've been number one for years, okay? We've been doing sports talk radio for years, whether you're on the show or not. And the only reason you got elected is because I endorsed you, okay? It's because I endorsed you. Back after this.
Dude,
is that good? No, we like that.
That's
good?
Awesome.
Yeah?
Woo!
I've been doing Francesca for a while. I listened to him for a while. It's hard because I'm not like 500 pounds, you know? So, although he might have gone on Ozempic, so maybe he's 300 now. You know, he's he was fun to listen to. You know, before the retirement, and then he came back. I used to do that for my friends all the time. I would record messages on my phone, and they're like, "We think this is two different people." I'm like, "No, it's me." We have a good time.
You don't do a Mad Dog Russo impersonation, do you?
You know, it's funny because I would think I'd be able to do it because I don't. I can't sound okay. like him. I've tried for years.
All right.
I just can't. I don't know. There's something about his voice. Maybe it's because he can't pronounce Barack.
Barack, we got Barack.
That I can't do.
Right.
He is a big Chris Christie supporter, though, Mad Dog.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, he had Chris Christie on a lot donated to his campaign.
Okay, I figured he was a Republican, but I didn't know he was a Christie guy. Yeah.
It's still
sloppy Chris Christie.
But especially that he's donated to Republicans, it gives an ignoramus label.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And
right.
allows the other side to say stuff, which
uh-huh.
is... You know.
I got you. Clip 34. This, if you thought, you know, Mad Dog botching Barack is funny, this is actually hysterical. Biden campaign co-chair Chris Coons says that Biden should do a 2-hour long press conference to showcase his extreme vigor and mental acuity. I mean, look, it's one thing when you work for somebody and you carry the water. But this is an insult to the intelligence of America. Clip 34, here you go.
I mean, he has given fewer press conferences, fewer interviews than any president in modern history, including the previous one, who's now running for re-election. And, you know, this could all be...
And
this,
the previous one told more lies per sentence than any candidate has ever told on a debate stage.
This is not the discussion that we're having. We could certainly, you know, have that conversation. I certainly didn't particularly care for it when President Biden said no U.S. service members had been killed in the previous 4 years. But wow. Moving on from things that were said that were not true, I think it is easy to settle this right now by President Biden going to the Brady Press Center, the press file in the White House, and doing a 2-hour press conference. Everybody would cover it live. Networks probably would cover it live. He'd be able to answer all these questions. It's not a crazy thing to expect a president to do. And the fact is, you know that. The campaign knows that. The White House knows that. That's how you settle this. You just put him in front of reporters, and he handles himself with acuity, aplomb. We all see it was just a fluke. Oh, my God, I can't believe it happened. And we move on. The fact that you haven't done that says quite a bit to me.
Wow.
Jake, what I've just said maybe three times in this interview is that is what I am urging and recommending.
Since last Thursday, am I out of line by thinking that maybe whatever Fetterman's been taking for the last 4 months, Jake Tapper just started taking? All of a sudden, Tapper's making sense. You know, he's very impartial and fair at the debate as a moderator, as one half of the Tapper and Bash tag team. And now he pretty much comes out and says, this is what you should do, and basically implying that your guy is incapable of doing this for 2 hours. Which, let's be honest, in that setting, does anybody shine brighter than Trump in a setting like that where he's just up there for 2 hours shooting into the wind? I don't think Joe Biden can shoot into the wind for more than 12 seconds.
COVID press conferences with Trump were like the best, right? I mean, then they went on forever. My favorite was when Burks was talking about, you know, scarf lady. She looked like she wore tablecloths, your Thanksgiving tablecloths around her neck for fun. I don't know what the hell her problem was.
They did. But,
and she was like, oh, I had a fever. And Trump like walked away from her and was like, oh no, you know? And then she said I was negative and he came back. And like even Mike Pence cracked a smile, and Bill Barr, who was standing there for some strange reason, cracked a smile. I don't know what he was doing at a COVID press conference, but whatever. Trump can go on these long press conferences. He could do it for probably a whole day. I said it. I think I said it in jest last Friday when I joined you guys. You know, as Trump, we looked at the donations. We looked at the merchandise on the website, and we saw an order for a Jay Tapper. We saw that, a MAGA hat. He's a supporter. Now, Dana Banz, she's also a supporter. Mm-hmm. She divorced her husband, you know, her ex-husband, because he signed the letter. And then she divorced him because he's a lying scumbag. So you saw what happened. He's a supporter now. Jake Tapper supports me now. We love him. Welcome, Jake. Welcome. You're not fake Jake anymore. You're real Jake. We love you. You're a great guy.
Awesome. All right, let me get to a little bit more of Tapper as he pretty much dunks on Chris Coons of the Biden campaign. This is clip 35, boys, where Jake Tapper basically says that Joe is in cognitive decline, and then he provides all of the receipts. Clip 35, Jake Tapper, go.
With all due respect, it is not honest to say that this is just one night. There have been moments like this that people have seen in front of the cameras and other moments but with cameras not there. Just 2 weeks ago, let me just show this clip. There was another moment like this, not just a senior losing a train of thought, but something else going on. Here he is. It was at an event about immigration. He tries to introduce DHS Secretary Mayorkas, and there's some sort of glitch. I don't know what it is. Let's roll that tape.
Thanks to all the members of Congress and Homeland Security Secretary. I'm not sure I'm going to introduce you all the way.
Wow.
But all kidding aside, Secretary Mayorkas.
I don't know what that was.
That doesn't trouble me at all, Jake.
No, of course not. No, it doesn't. You know, honestly, if you are a young Biden staffer, I understand why you keep riding, because it's your career. You're trying to make a name for yourself in politics. I don't know how old Chris Coons is. I'm just going to guess, I don't know, 58, 62. I mean, it's so hard to defend Joe Biden right now. I mean, Jake Tapper is legitimately destroying that guy on live television. This is CNN. This is your soft landing spot. I mean, this is where you get all the softballs. But this is what happens. And we always talk about this. Eventually, they're going to turn on you. And they're doing that right now across the board in the mainstream media, where normally they're the lapdogs for the Democrat and that administration. What was that?
I can't. Jake Tapper even said, I don't know what that was.
I don't know what that was.
I can't believe he said that.
That's not a cheap fake, by the way, Sean. That's real tape.
I know. And I remember that clip where Biden kind of phrases, he's trying to say Mayorkas, and he just kind of got stuck. You know, he sounded like, you know, when you try and start the lawnmower and it's like, and it doesn't start, right? You got to pull the thing a bunch of times. And then the fact that Jake Tapper is like, yeah, we don't know what that was. And the guy's like, no, it's fine. That's not a problem. How is not knowing your DHS secretary's name not a problem? So you mean to tell me if Donald Trump was like, yeah, we have the Department of Homeland Security secretary, whatever the hell his name is, we don't know. You're not going to have a problem with that? Donald Trump could come out and you know, you but they, of course, they don't have to. They make up what he says. Yeah. Oh, he said to inject bleach. He said very fine people. Yeah. That's bad. How about, and I posted this on Twitter not too long ago, when Joe Biden on 60 Minutes said, I no more think of myself as being as old as I am than fly.
What?
I don't know what that means.
Than fly.
I don't know what that means. I no more think of myself as being as old as I am than fly. No clue. 2022. Scott Pelley was chewing on his glasses, interviewing him in 60 Minutes. Mr. President, what do you mean by that? Nothing. Yeah. Nothing. He's just like, oh, yeah, nice answer. What do you mean? What do you mean? What does that mean?
Also,
I need to know what that means.
Also goes to show you their disregard for the border. The border's such a non-priority for Joe Biden, he doesn't even know the name of the guy who's supposed to be in charge of the border, Alejandro Mayorkas, your deputy, Homeland Security. You're right with Trump. If Trump didn't know his name, AOC would be demanding that they invoke the 25th Amendment right now.
Yeah.
That's where we would be today. All right, let's go down to the state of Florida. It's been a while since we've heard from
Mustard,
Mr. Ron DeSantis. But here is the governor of Florida talking about a Joe Biden Weekend at Bernie's presidency part two. Listen to this, clip 39.
The other thing I would say is, you know, I had a really uncomfortable feeling sitting in front of the TV watching that debate on Thursday night. I just, but here's the, I mean, it was literally 4 or 5 minutes in, and it was painful to watch Joe do that. But the issue is, you know, now you have some of these media people saying, you know, that he should not run and all this other stuff when they knew that this is how he was. You compare him to 2019, to that debate, it's been a really significant decline. And the idea that that decline is going to stop, that somehow you can make it to age 86, given the trajectory, is a joke. And everybody knows that's a joke. A lot of these people in the media, they decided to try to paper that over to try to get him across the finish line. Well, what happened on Thursday was people saw with their own eyes. And so they're not going to be able to gaslight that. They're not going to be able to whitewash it. And I think they understand that. So now they're saying in some quarters and important quarters, hey, he should step aside. He's not up to the job. But understand, they're only saying that not because they have any problem with having a president that has cognitive limitations and is in cognitive decline. They are perfectly willing to let the executive branch be run by a bunch of these staffers, these left-wing staffers who none of us elected, and they're totally fine to have a Weekend at Bernie's presidency part two. They are totally fine with that. The reason why they're calling for that is not because they think it's important that a president can actually discharge the functions. No. They're calling for because that scene was so jarring that they understand he's going to lose. And so they want to be able to try to get someone else in there that will carry out the.
Now, you guys know I like Ron DeSantis a lot. I love his policies. He's incredibly, incredibly effective. He was one of the few that delivered the red wave 2 falls ago during the midterms. But when we saw him run his campaign for the primary season, we really got to see how uncomfortable he is in public settings. The charisma, the charm, the conversational elements that Trump is so natural in, DeSantis is very unnatural at. But so when you have a guy who's unnatural in those settings and speeches, obliterating a guy and saying, I felt uncomfortable watching Joe Biden, that's just another damning element of uncomfortable dunking on uncomfortable. And I look, you know, we've talked about this debate for 5 days now, and we'll move on from it after the 4th of July. But I mean, I think most people, if you were objectively looking at it, 90 seconds in on Thursday night, you realize that whatever that dude could have been on for the State of the Union, he wasn't on again because he came out with nothing in the tank.
Yeah, nothing can take away from it.
No.
I mean, we cannot unsee what we saw.
We
I sound like Kamala.
We cannot be unburdened by what we've seen or what has been.
Yeah. That was a Kamala statement, but you're right, though, Dawn. You're right. You can't unsee it.
And you caught yourself, too. Dawn caught herself right away. She goes, oh, my God, I'm having a Kamala moment.
See, you're playing that stupid clip all the time. She can't be unburdened, but we cannot unsee. What is the quote that she says? We cannot, I don't know.
We can unburden by what has been.
Okay, well. Yeah. It fits.
Wow.
It's scary. But
it's like community banks are an important part of the community.
Yeah.
Right? Or something like that?
Yeah, because they're led by people in the community.
Oh, my God.
And they are physically located in the community in which they serve the community members.
As banks. Right?
Yes.
Great.
Imagine her doing a Federal Credit Union spot.
Oh, my God.
Good Lord. All right, that'll do it. That's all we've got for Cut Sheet Part 2. We actually have more, but we're out of time. We'll come back, find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show and what happened today in music history. But first, let me tell you about my friends with the bike ride coming up. That's right, Families Behind the Badge. Hopefully, you will join me once again in supporting the Bend to the Shore Bike Tour. It's coming up Sunday, July 21st. We're just 19 days away. You have a lot of options here, 65 miles from Philly to AC, or you can cut that by over 50% if you want to ride 30 miles from Hamilton. Just go to bendtoshore.org, and when you sign up with the promo code NICK1210, they'll knock off $25 off your registration fee. FBBCF provides financial relief for families of fallen and injured first responders, and we hope that you will join us, and we'll show everybody how WPHT and Odyssey supports law enforcement and also the Police Youth Alliance, which fosters a positive relationship between the police and the youth.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
The Dawn Show coming up in exactly 10 minutes, and we find out what she has planned for the top of the hour.
Yeah, so off the top, we'll talk about Biden, the local reaction, Governor Shapiro, what he's saying, and local reaction from our pundits and elected officials. Talk about where First Lady Jill Biden is, hint, hint, in Pennsylvania today. So many saying she runs the show. Coming up at 10:30 then, I'll have a conversation with Curtis Bashaw. So nobody thought he had a shot in you-know-what when he announced his candidacy back in January for the U.S. Senate. This is the Menendez seat and against Andy Kim. Look at these polls, and I know, as Sean Farish correctly said, the polls skew conservative in one of the latest ones, but overall, keeping hope alive in New Jersey. Bashaw has a better chance than anybody ever thought. Could, oh my God, in the Senate. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to have a conversation with, he's also the owner of the great, you know, Congress Hall, Congress, beautiful hotel in Cape May, New Jersey, if you've ever spent a day or night there. So we'll talk to him about the Jersey Shore and his candidacy.
Okay, Dawn Show coming up in just about 8 minutes, as now we find out what occurred today in music history.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history, history on Kale and Company.
Today, July 2nd, we celebrate the birthdays of Dave Parsons from the band Bush, who's now 58, and Johnny Calla from Huey Lewis and the News, who's now 72. Singles include She Bop by Cyndi Lauper in 84, and We're an American Band by Grand Funk Railroad in 1973. Albums include The Last in Line by Dio in 84. Flesh and Blood by Poison in 90. Into the Great White Open by Tom Petty in 91. And Invasion of Your Privacy by Rat in 1985. All great albums. Also, in 2015, Rush was on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine for the first time. In 69, the band Mountain formed on Long Island. In 1980, Bob Weir and Mickey Hart from the Grateful Dead were arrested on suspicion of starting a riot after they tried to interfere in a drug bust. But lastly, another riot story. In 1991, Axl Rose caused a riot to break out during a GNR gig after leaping into the crowd to remove a camera. Over 50 people were injured and 15 were arrested. For Kale and Company, I'm Phil Lomquist.
Nice work, Philip. As we wrap up a Tuesday, one more show tomorrow before we break for the 4th of July holiday. Sean, good stuff. We'll reconvene tomorrow at 6 a.m. All right, buddy?
Yes, I'm very excited to be back again, 6 a.m. Day before the 4th of July. It'll be Independence Day Eve. I'm excited. I always get excited for Independence Day, for 4th of July. So it's going to be a good one tomorrow as well. Thanks, everybody, for listening today.
Yes, indeed. Stay tuned. The Dawn Show is up next. We're back tomorrow morning at 6. Until then, good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday morning, 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.